It says, only let your manner of life be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or am absent, I may hear of you, that you are standing firm in one spirit, with one mind, striving side by side for the faith of the gospel, and not frightened in anything by your opponents. This is a clear sign to them of their destruction, but of your salvation. And that from God. It's just interesting that standing firm in one spirit with one mind is a clear sign of the enemy's destruction. So let's just press in this morning in one spirit and one mind. Lord, teach us what that means to press in. Standing firm in one spirit and one mind. Striving side by side for the faith of the gospel.
So let us pray. Lord, Father God, in the name of your Son, Jesus, please hear our prayers. We lift up before you in prayer all the families who have lost loved ones on the battlefields and in the wars over the seas, even this week, and going back to distant wars that includes the parents and children, brothers and sisters, nieces, the grandparents, the grandchildren, and also comrades and friends who are still in uniform overseas. You comfort all these people as they work through the painful memory of their fallen comrades and fallen relatives and friends. And we ask, Lord, that you break through with the good news of your gospel of salvation and the conviction of your Holy Spirit and the presence of you, Lord Jesus Christ, who are the ultimate, you are the ultimate healer and the ultimate restorer and the ultimate healer of broken hearts. And we thank you for the sacrifices made by Americans. We remember you, Lord Jesus, made the ultimate sacrifice that's finished. And even though wars rage on as we pray, and they're not yet finished, thank you that your work on the cross was perfectly finished. Lord, Father God, hear our prayers, and we ask your favor on all these people. In the name of your Son, Jesus, amen.
I mean, no, we didn't, and yes, we will. Today is just going to be a clinic, purely a clinic. So it's not going to be it'll be teaching, but it's going to be a teaching clinic. I was just going to say we're not going to do any teaching, but actually that's exactly what it is. But first, let's honor the Lord. Can you hear the humming? And it's fine for you. Okay, cool. You probably hear this terminology a lot, as do I, when we go into churches. We say, let's honor the Lord with our tithes and offerings. Try to never allow that to become a religious thing in your thinking. Every single time, take a few seconds, stop. Get your heart right so that you're honoring the Lord with your attitude as you give to him, right? Because it is, for example, the tithe, the Word of God says very clearly that it is holy unto the Lord. God says this is a sacred thing. It's just holy unto me. And offerings are a way of worshiping God, because what you're doing is, and what I'm doing when we do this, is we're saying, God, I'm doing business with you. I believe in you, and I'm wanting to enter into covenant with you with this money. Money is a representation of your life. You give part of your life to earn that money. Your blood, your sweat, and your tears. This is why the Constitution is written the way that it is, that actually says that income tax is unconstitutional. Yep. The reason for that is, at least one person's aware of what the Constitution says, that's good. The reason for that is because the people who wrote the Constitution were godly people. They knew the Bible well. And they understood that this thing about that money is part of your life. If I go and mow Kenton's lawn, and we have an agreement that he's going to pay me $10 for mowing his lawn, I mow his lawn, I'm giving up an hour or 2 hours of my life, And I do that in exchange. He gives me $10. That's in exchange for my time of my life that I gave to him, right? So that's mine, which is why those men of God knew, hey, there is no increase there. I gave part of my life for that $10, and therefore the government has no right to take that from me. That's not an increase. So anyhow, just a little sidetrack there a little bit, but the point is the men of God who wrote the Constitution understood this principle. I'm telling you right now, when we give our offerings and our tithes to the Lord, what we're doing is we're entering into covenant with God. It's like in the Old Testament where they would both cut their wrists and lock their wrists together and share blood. They would make a covenant with one another. One's giving part of his life to the other, and the other one's giving his life to the other, right? And that's what we're doing. We're giving part of our life into the kingdom of God, and we need to realize and think through about the fact that we are giving, we're entering into covenant with God. So don't just pluck it in the bucket, is what I'm saying, right? Every single time you give by faith. Say, God, I believe your word. What part of his word? There's numerous scriptures. It's the second most talked about subject in all of the Bible is money. But one of them that we are probably all familiar with, it's a very powerful one, says, give and it shall be given unto you. That's a promise from God. He didn't need to say that. He said that because he wants that to operate in your life, right? So when you give, believe that it will be given unto you, that God is going to move situations in your life to bring more finances into your life because you're showing him that you're a sower. And it says in 2 Corinthians 9, he gives seed to who? Seed to the sower. If you're not a sower, don't be expecting more seed to come into your life supernaturally. But you show God, hey, I'm going to demonstrate I'm a sower. God says, I give seed to sowers. So become a sower. If you're not one now, become a sower. So with that, let's just honor the Lord by showing, by one of the ways you do that is by giving by faith when you give. Don't just pluck it in the bucket. All right. So, Father, we lift up our tithes and our offerings to you right now. And we honor you, Father God, knowing that you are the God who rules over us. We are subject to you. We trust in you. We have put our trust in you. And your word to us, Father, is if we give into your kingdom, it will come back to us manyfold. And Father, we desire to do business with you in the kingdom of God. We don't want to do business with the devil. We want to do business with our God. And so we give by faith, Father, into your kingdom now, trusting in your word for your blessing, Father, on this as we give. In the name of Jesus, amen. It's still ringing up here. I don't know if you can, you may not be able to hear it back there, but. All right, so this is going to be a clinic. Now, can you guys hear me still fine?
Yes.
Okay, great. Good. Then, so what I'm going to need is I'm going to need a victim for which to pick on. Just the initial. What I'm going to do, here's how we're going to do this. I'm going to demonstrate a witnessing situation up here like we did before with Ryan. I'm going to do it again, demonstrate another one up here, but I'm going to take it the next step. With him, I just asked the questions. This person, I'm going to ask the questions, and then I'm going to go into the witnessing, sharing the scriptures. I just want you to watch to understand. I mean, it's very basic, but I just want you to see exactly how I'm doing it. There's purpose behind everything that I'm doing. And then you're going to do it. Do you have your little cheat sheet? All right. Raise your hand if you do not have a cheat sheet. You passer outers did a great job.
Nice job.
Okay. So who will let me witness to you? Come on.
I think you'll be really good at it.
Where is Daniel? Oh, yeah. All right, Chris. I guess I got two of you.
I want to hear about this Jesus guy.
All right, good. All right, come on up here, both of you guys. I'll do this a lot, actually. I love witnessing to more people just because it's I get a better ROI. Yes. All right, so Yeah, I get a better ROI when I'm dealing with a group. What I have done in the past, for the most part, where I end up ministering to groups of people, is I go to, you'll need to read that because I'm the one that's going to be doing that. No. I mean, it looked like you're getting ready, but you're not going to be using it. Yeah, no. You just need to be a heathen. So if you can.
Oh, that's easy.
All right, cool. I think I shared this with you before, but one of the ways I love to witness is I go to malls, and I go into the areas where people are just hanging out, where they're doing, you know, just doing nothing. And a lot of times what I'll find is a group of young kids, like, you know, 18, 19, 20. I like to work with that age group. It's just where my heart is. And so, you know, you might like to deal with senior citizens. And the other thing, one of the things that I do also before I get started, I don't go through a very long prayer, interceding at home and all that. Oftentimes I will for a little while. I'll just intercede over it. But it's, you know, it's not a something I need to, I'm not twisting God's arm, right? I'm not like God's going, okay, all right, already, I'll move with you, you know. God is waiting on us, right? All I'm doing when I go to pray, is I'm just getting in agreement with his flow that's already flowing. I'm just stepping in to the river, right? So when I go to a mall, what I'll do a lot of times, I'll just stop. And I learned this lesson because of, it started to become a problem after a while of my witnessing. But anyhow, I just say, God, I pray now that you would lead me by your Spirit to those that are ready. Father, show me who's ready. Thank you, Lord. And then I just start walking through the mall. And what I'll do is I'll just look at some people. I try not to make eye contact with them because then they're wondering why you're looking at me. So I'll just, they'll be talking to each other. And I'm just kind of looking. And all I'm doing right now, now, I know this is fun. That's great. Have fun. But I want you to really listen to what I'm doing. I just look at those two human beings over there and I check my spirit. I'm really looking for a witness. All right. What happened was in the first year, okay, you guys can stop so it's not any more of a distraction. You got to stop upstage me. I said, you guys can stop now. for the first year that I got saved, I led several hundred people to the Lord. But after about, 6-8 months of doing this or whatever, I mean, it was just happening like popcorn. It was just incredible. Then I hit this wall where I'd witness to someone and they would just wear me out with questions. And I'd be with them for like 3 hours and then they would leave and they'd never accept Christ. And then I'd witness to someone else, and they'd wear me out for like 3 hours. And then the next day I'd be witnessing to someone else, and they'd wear me out. And I found myself like getting ready to go to witness someone. I'd be like, oh my gosh, I don't know, man. I don't want to get into one of these 3-hour discussions, you know? And I found myself just a little bit hesitant that I did not have. I found hesitation I did not have previous. And then I started feeling really bad about that. And I was like, Lord, I don't want to be like this. And so I went to the Lord, and I said, Lord, your word. And I quoted the scripture to the Lord. I said, Lord, your word says to preach the gospel to every creature. And I was getting on my case because I was like wanting to pick and choose now because, you know, do they look like they're going to be antagonistic? And your word says, preach the word to every creature. The Spirit of the Lord spoke to me and said, he said, I also said, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. And then he said, let me lead you. Then he gave me this other scripture that just came up in my spirit. No one comes to me lest the Father draws him, Jesus says. I think that's John 6:44, maybe. He says, no one comes to the Father unless the... And no one comes to me, Jesus said, unless... Was that it?
Yeah.
Okay, beautiful. No one comes to me unless the Father draws him, right? Well, these two may be... Like the Lord's kind of moved on their hearts and everything, and they're just like, no, 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 to the Lord. Like the Lord's done certain things in life. No, they're not ready at all. Someone else may be like the Lord's been moving on them, and their hearts are like getting tender towards the Lord. The Lord's drawing them. They're ready. They're ripe. And so the Lord, I'll look at these guys in the mall or wherever on the street, and I just listen to my spirit. I'm looking for that red light or that green light. One feels like a check. It's just a check. Like I look at them, I just get a check. I try not to look at their physical appearance. They look like they could be mean guys. I try not to do that. Just literally kind of look at the shape. It's a human being. It's a body. Don't look at detail. Just look and check. And then I'll look over at someone else, and I get a check. And then I look to someone else, and there's this, whew. It's just this release. Whew. It's like that. It's just like a lightness. And I'll go, okay, that's it. That's the one. Do that. It will be very powerful for you. You'll find great success if you'll do it. Now, at first you're going to find, I'm not sure if I'm feeling, if you aren't practiced at doing that, there's a learning process. Just be relaxed about it. I'm just looking for that. And a lot of times, I was just out the other day with a group of other people witnessing. I sat there for probably close to an hour. I couldn't find that witness. I just looked, and I looked, and I looked, and it was just nothing was happening. I was like, well, after a while, I was like, man, what is up? I mean, just nothing. And then I looked through a crowd of people, and I saw one girl, and it was just like, it was on me. That's it. I was like, wow. I had to walk around all these people. I went all the way over there. And then I just walked up to her and I said, hey, how you doing? Can I talk to you for a minute?
Sure.
All right. If it's all right, I just want to talk to you about the Lord. Is that okay?
Yeah.
And that's exactly what I said to her. So first I just said, can I talk with you? And she said, yeah, sure. And I said, I'm going to talk to you about the Lord. Is that all right? So instead of just going in and talking to the Lord, talking about the Lord, and it kind of freaks her out, I'm preparing her heart and to get ready for the subject matter instead of just hitting her with the subject matter. And I'm asking permission, which shows respect to her. Like, oh, he just told me what the subject is. I already said he can talk with me. But then he tells me what the subject is and asks me again, can I talk to you about that? You can see them, the appreciation on them, like, wow, you're being very respectful. Yes, you can talk to me about that. Now, some people on that second question will go, no, not really. I'll say, okay, you have a beautiful day. And I just say it with a smile, and I mean it. What I'm going to do, I'm never going to lose the opportunity to, I'm going to plant a seed of kindness with them, right? The very fact that I went up to him and said, hey, can I talk with you for a minute? Right there, I just, whether he realizes it or not, I just provided an opportunity to plant a seed. On the very first question, hey, you guys, can I talk with you for a minute? They may say, no, not interested. Most people don't say no to that, but if they did, I'd say, okay, have a good day. And I'll just very nicely, and I walk off, right? I still just planted a seed. But I ideally get past that first question. It's the next one. I'll say, I'm going to talk to you about the Lord. Is that all right? Now they know the subject. They know who I'm going to talk. I'm talking about Jesus. They know that. And then if they say no, I say, okay, you guys have a nice day. And I walk off. I just said Jesus and kindness. Right? I said Jesus and I show kindness. They make that connection. You're one of those Jesus people. You just made that obvious. And what did I see from you? I saw kindness. Right? Now, if I just identify myself as one of those Jesus people, and then I'm snooty when they say no to me, and I give them just that look, and I walk off, I said, Jesus, and that's what you're like when you walk with him. You know what I'm saying? Really important. Right there's a witness. You'll be successful 100% of the time just by doing that. Remember, success is not leading someone to Jesus. Success is sharing Jesus, because that's all we're asked to do by the Lord. He does not say that your job is to convert people to Jesus. He says your job is to preach the gospel, share Christ. It's the Holy Spirit's job to convert them. Not yours and not mine. Thank God. I do not have the ability to reach into these men's hearts and speak to their heart. I don't have that ability. It's completely beyond my capability. What I do have the ability to do is to use my mouth and speak words to them, and the Holy Spirit is on those words, and he will go into their heart and do a work. My job is to share the words of life. All right? So that's what we do. All right. So this is really easy if it's someone you're already in a conversation with. It's super easy. You know, you've got a coworker and you're just sitting there working with him. Maybe you've been working with him for years, and you're talking about different things. And you know, Bob and whatever. Yeah, you just got the promotion. It's really wild. You know, and then whatever. I mean, just talking about different things. Hey, man, I'm curious. Were you guys raised in a Christian home, or I mean, were you raised in some kind of religious background, or what?
I was raised Catholic.
Were you?
Me too. What about,
oh, okay, I was too.
Awesome.
So where are you guys
with? Mary.
Yeah. So where are you with that now?
I don't know about you. I don't really follow that. It was just kind of like seemed too ritualistic and stuff. And
yeah.
I just went because, you know, my mom wanted me to go when I was a kid. And,
yeah.
You know, yeah, I mean, there's probably a God, I think.
Mm-hmm. What about you, Daniel? What do you think? Yeah, I was wondering about that, if you can even hear them. So.
I really didn't.
Is it on?
Yeah.
Yeah, we probably just wait for him. Oh, that's why. He's not there. Okay. We need you, Jay. We need this microphone. Okay, that's fine.
I was raised Catholic, but I really didn't care about God. It was just something else.
Actually, this would be good to get on there so that if it's, assuming it's being recorded.
Yeah, then it goes on the
yeah, then they can listen to it.
And we're taking pictures.
Okay.
I was raised Catholic, but I really don't care about I really didn't care about God. It was just something I was forced to do. So,
okay.
There's nothing there. It's just part of my past, but it didn't make any effect.
Right. So, what are your spiritual beliefs now? You guys, I mean, you believe in God or what? Where are your spiritual beliefs now?
Pretty much an atheist.
Okay. Yeah. How about you?
I'd have to say, like, I'm probably more agnostic. I think there's something out there, man.
Yeah.
I don't really think it's Jesus, you know. He'd, like, I don't think that he's God. You know?
All right. Well, what about, like, heaven and hell? Do you guys think they exist?
Yeah.
Maybe heaven exists, but not hell.
Okay. So, God forbid this would happen, but what if the three of us were going out, you know, after we leave work or whatever, and we just, bam, get hit by a truck and get taken out? Where do you think you would go? We got some serious ring up here now. Okay, all right.
Probably nowhere. I mean, it could be nothing. Just okay. Goes dark and that's it.
Yeah, all right.
I think, excuse me, I think I'd probably go to...
Yeah.
I think I'd probably go to heaven because, you know, I've led a pretty good life and I've never, like, really screwed anybody over or done anything, like, really bad.
Right. All right. Well, what if what you guys are believing wasn't true?
What do you mean?
Would you want to know?
If I had proof, if I could see proof.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree with that.
All right. Well, let me show you something. I'm going to show you a scripture here. This is in John chapter 3. I'm sorry, that's not where I want to start. I'm going to start in Romans chapter 3. Right here. You see what it says here. Romans 3:23. It says, why don't you read that?
For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God.
What do you think that means?
Sounds like maybe none of us are worthy
for God to, like, love us or for us to be in his kingdom, I guess.
Yeah. What do you think, Daniel? Did you read that too?
Yeah, I heard it.
Okay.
I know what it's supposed to mean. It's supposed to mean that everyone's a sinner. I got that much from the Catholic Church, but this book was written by man, right?
Yeah, it was. It was written by man by the inspiration of God. We believe, as Christians, we believe that every single word is literally inspired by God. It says in 1 Timothy 3:16, it says that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. So God uses man, always has from the beginning. He works through man to do everything. That's his desire, is to work through us. He's not trying to live apart from us. He wants to live with us. So he uses man to do everything, including the writing of the Scriptures.
So you're saying that God told them what to write, even though supposedly it was like 60 to 100 years later that they wrote all this stuff in the New Testament?
Exactly. Exactly right. When they sat down to write, God moved on them. Now, I'm doing something I really would recommend you don't do unless you feel really versed in scriptures to let them go somewhere else with you on it. But what I'm also going to do, if they started to take me real far, I would just say, hey, let me get back to where I wanted to show you guys. All right? And they'll just go, okay. Always try and bring them back. Don't let them go too far down the road with you. But I can tell that this one's trying to be really antagonistic with me. So... I just wanted to, you know, I knew the road, I knew where he was going with it, so I just wanted to make a statement of what the scripture says real quick, so that, you know, just to kind of kill that one. All right, well, it says, we just read there that...
you said heathen, right?
I did. Exactly. Absolutely. Now, you're being a great heathen. Very, yeah. Appreciate it. So it says all have sinned, right? So I just wanted you to get that it says all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, right? Now look at this verse here. Look what it says in 6:23. In fact, Daniel, why don't you read that? 6:23 right there.
6:23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord.
Now, what do you think that means? For the wages of sin is death. What do you think that means?
That we go to hell if we sin?
Yeah. That's pretty good. Not everyone knows that. They say, well, what's death? It says wages of sin is death. Because if you've already sinned, I've already sinned, we're still alive. But it says the wages of sin is death.
You got to pay for it, I guess?
No, it's saying that it's spiritual death. Because God is the source of life. So when we sin, it cuts us off from the source of life. And that's why the Bible calls it death. You are then. So everyone on the planet Earth is literally walking around in spiritual death because of sin.
So how do we get free? How do we get free from that?
Well, what does the next half of that verse say?
For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord.
Right. So. Now, what's it call it? The what?
Our Lord.
No, here
the gift.
It's a gift, right? How do you get a gift from someone? Do you
receive it?
You receive it. You don't earn it, right? You can't earn a gift, right? So now I want to show you another scripture here. This is in John chapter 3. This is that one I was going to go to before that I changed my order there. But John chapter 3, Daniel, why don't you read that? Verse 3. What does that say there?
John chapter 3, verse 3.
Yeah.
Jesus answered and said to him, most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God.
What do you think that means?
That we should go back into our mother's womb and be born again?
Yeah, you sound like Nicodemus. That's the guy that was asking this question. He said the same thing. What do you think? Have you ever heard that term before?
What, being born again?
Yeah. It says, unless you are born again, you will not see the kingdom of God. What do you think that means?
I don't know. Maybe like just to be baptized or something.
Okay. Well, I want you to know, first of all, the story behind this. The Jews at this time were the only people on the planet that had a relationship with God. The only people. Nicodemus, this man that came to talk to Jesus, was one of the religious leaders of the Jews. So he would be, therefore, probably one of the most religious people on the planet. Wouldn't you agree? If he's a religious leader of the only people who know God. So like in the Catholic, you guys were raised Catholic, you say it would be similar to being the Pope or at least one of the cardinals or one of the high bishops. Certainly they know God, right?
Sure.
Jesus said to him, Nicodemus, unless you are born again, you will not see the kingdom of God. The point here is Jesus is saying everybody has to be born again, right? The born again is referring to that spirit that I was talking about. We're spiritually dead. God wants to breathe his spirit into you and bring life to you again, like he did in the Garden of Eden when he created man. When God breathes his spirit into you, you become alive or you're born, by the Spirit of God. Because you're born once in the flesh. This that we're born into here in the earth is the first being born. The second is being born of God by your Spirit. So that's what it means by being born again.
But don't I have to give something up, or like, do I have to be like, you know, should I get to a certain point in my life where things are better before I do this? Or?
Yeah. Now, if someone asks me a question like that, I'm just going to go ahead and explain it to them. But because I'm kind of teaching a particular order, I'm just going to go with the order that I've showed you guys. All right. So I just want you to know it's not necessarily I'm going to go this order. I would just go ahead and explain it, because what he's just done, he's really getting me to the point that I want to get to anyhow. He's just getting me there faster. I would just go with it. But I'm just going to go with the order that I'm showing you here, right? Well, let me show you. I want to show you a few more scriptures, and that would explain that. Read John 3, 16 and 17, if you would.
Okay. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved.
Yeah, so here you see, now I would ask him, what do you think that means? But I'm going to speed this up a little bit because I want you guys to be doing this. But every single time, ask him, what do you think that means? What I always do is I hand them the Bible and I like them to read it. There is something to when people hold the Bible, you can almost see they're almost like nervous to hold the Bible, you know, if they're not accustomed to it. And it's because there's just this knowing on the inside of everyone, this is a holy book. They know it. And when they start reading the scriptures, even though when the Bible's nowhere around, they go, oh, I don't believe in the Bible and everything. And, you know, they'll just tell you all their stuff, blah, 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 blah. Right? You put the Bible in their hand, it's amazing how quickly that changes. They're almost literally, you'll find them almost like shaking, like to read it. And then they start to read it, and you'll see the seriousness on them as they start reading the scriptures. Let them read it. You're taking away a very powerful element if you don't put it in their hand and let them read it. Let the Holy Spirit, what you're doing, you're just sitting back and just letting the Holy Spirit do his thing. He starts working on them, right? The Holy Spirit just, you know. So anyhow, yeah, so it says here, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Notice, I want you to notice something. It doesn't say God was angry with the world. It said God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son.
That's right.
And notice in the second verse when you read here, it says, God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, which is what so many people believe, that God's condemning them. He didn't send his Son to condemn us.
That makes sense.
He sent his Son to save us because he loves us. Now, I want you to read another scripture here in John 14 and verse 6. Daniel, why don't you read this one? John 14, 6. Yeah, I definitely do.
Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me.
I am the way, the truth, and the life. And a lot of times I will repeat it because they're also nervous when they're reading it, but I'll read it emphasizing and being real slow. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. Seems kind of self-explanatory, but what does it mean to you? What do you think that means? Yeah, why don't you tell me?
From the heathen? Or?
Yes, from the heathen.
That's just the writer's opinion.
Yeah. Huh. Okay. Well, let me show you one more scripture. And again, a lot of times that's what I'll do. I won't say anything to it. I'll just go ahead and read the next scripture. Romans chapter 10. Verses 9 let's just read 9 and 10. Now, here's another thing I'll do. If I'm in a group, I just thought of something else I want to share with you. It's real important. If I'm in a group of like 5 people or 4 people, whatever, I will identify who the antagonizer is and who the other person whose heart is much more softer, and I'll start working with that person and not, I'll pretty much ignore the other person. I'll look at them, I'll smile, I'll be really nice to them, but I won't let them drive this. Right? I'm intentionally going to use the person who is much more receptive and let him talk. And that will actually help his friend because he already knows him. He's got a relationship with him. So I'm going to kind of minister to him through him. Right? So it's just another very, I've found to be a very effective way of ministering to people. All right, so read this, if you would. Romans 10, verses 9 and 10.
For with the heart one believes to righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made to salvation. Is that it?
Yeah. So it says with the heart one believes, because you were saying, well, what do you have to do? Do you have to live right, or what do you do? You know, how do you have that relationship? How do you get born again? That's what this is talking about. This is explaining how a person is born again. With the heart, you believe unto righteousness. And what it's talking about, what you are believing, is that Jesus is the Son of God, that he died for your sin, right? To wash away your sin. Sure. The Bible says if you believe that with your heart, then that's the first step. Then you make a confession with your mouth to God. And the reason for that is God gave you a free will, right? Yeah. He's looking for you to exercise the free will that he gave you. And the way you do that is by saying to him, I want you to come into my life. Because you can believe in Jesus. You can believe that he's the Son of God. And with that belief, die and go straight to hell.
So you're saying if I wanted to, I could do this right now?
That's exactly right. So if... yeah. Yeah, no, I don't want any money for this. I'm good. I'm all taken care of. But if you wanted to, I could pray with you right now to accept Jesus Christ in your life. And God will literally forgive you of all of your sins by putting faith in his Son. And he will breathe his Spirit into you right now. And you literally will become born again.
Wow.
And as a result of that, when you wake up tomorrow, you will wake up a child of God, heaven bound. Instead of waking up tomorrow, still dead in your sins as you are right now. And it will, the difference is where you will spend all of eternity. Because right now, when we're spiritually dead, we're separated from God. If during this lifetime we don't make the decision to become connected with God, we've made the decision by our free will, I don't want to be with you. And God will honor that. And he will send you to a place that's separated from him for all of eternity, honoring your choice. Yeah. And that choice is a place of separation from God for all of eternity. And that's what the Bible calls hell. So if you would like to have a relationship with God, I can pray with you right now. And you can accept Christ into your life. Would you like to do that?
Yeah, sure. Let's do it.
How about you, Daniel? No?
No.
All right. That's cool. But I really appreciate you even listening to me. I really do. I appreciate your time to do that. So if you don't mind, I'm just going to pray with your friend here just for a minute.
Sure.
All right. Here, just take my hand, if you would, and just pray with me. I'm just going to pray first, and then you can just repeat after me if you want, all right?
All right.
And you said, what was your name again? I'm sorry.
Steve.
Steve, okay. Father God, I thank you so much for Steve and just his desire, Lord, to know you. Lord, I thank you so much that you sent your son for Steve, and that Jesus paid the price for Steve's sin so that he doesn't have to pay the price for it. And now, Father, Steve wants to accept that sacrifice so that he can be one with you. So, Steve, just go ahead and pray this with me. Heavenly Father.
Heavenly Father.
I believe that you sent your son.
I believe that you sent your son.
To pay the price for my sin.
To pay the price for my sin.
And so I ask you now, Lord.
And so I ask you now, Lord,
to forgive me of my sins.
To forgive me of my sins.
And to come into my life.
And to come into my life.
And be my Lord and my Savior.
And be my Lord and my Savior.
I commit my life to you right now.
I commit my life to you right now.
To live, to serve, and to obey you.
To live and serve and obey you.
And I confess now by faith.
And I confess now by faith
that Jesus is my Lord.
That Jesus is my Lord.
Amen, Steve. Amen. Praise God.
Woo!
Glory. All right, man.
Thank you for sharing that.
That's
bro.
Awesome, man. Woo! All right, man. All right. Hey, I would like to leave my number with you, if you don't mind, just in case, and with you also, in case you guys have any questions about anything we just talked about. You know, sometimes right now you may not think of them, but later it'll kind of hit, you know, I'd kind of like to ask that guy a question or two. I'd love to just leave my number with you, and then you guys can call me if you want, anytime you want. Is that all right?
Hey, thank you for cool. sharing that with me.
Absolutely, man. Appreciate it. And then I break out my cell phone and, you know, give them my number or whatever, write it down, whatever, and just give it to them so they can call you later. So, all right, man. All right. Thanks, guys.
Did you ever get any of that where that easy?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, seriously. No, that's probably half the time that the people accept the Lord. It's that quick and it's that easy. Many, 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 many people are so ready. What did Jesus say? The harvest is plenty, right? But what's the problem? It's the workers. That's the problem. It's not the harvest. Satan wants to plant in your mind. The problem is the harvest. Yeah, there's no ripe fruit out there. No one wants to accept Jesus. Exactly. It's a waste of time. You're going to get ridiculed. That's the truth of the matter is the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. That's the problem. So, yeah, actually, most of the people I talk to come to it as quickly as Chris just did, or Steve just did right there. And then the other half, oftentimes I'll sit there for a little bit longer and talk with them, and they'll just have a lot more questions on their mind, and then they'll accept Christ. And then there's some still that just never do, but you were incredible. You were 100% successful because you shared the gospel. Now that seed is with them. You know, the girl that ended up leading me to the Lord, the first time she shared Christ with me, I told her to get out of my face. It would not leave me alone, the words she said to me. They went round and round and round in my head. That night that she shared with me that it was Jesus, she said these words. I said, "Why are you so happy?" She said, "It's Jesus." I said, "Sheila, I'm not talking about your religion, all right? I was raised Catholic. I know all about God. I know all about Jesus, and it never did that for me. I'm saying, seriously, why are you so happy all the time?" She said, "It's Jesus." And I was like, "Okay, whatever, just go back to work." I was her boss, she was working for me. I said, "Just go back to work." And so that night, when I went to bed, now, she would walk away probably feeling how? How do you think she felt when I said that to her? Totally rejected. I was not nice about it. I had a real hard wound. I don't know if hard is the right word, but I had a hard spot in my heart. I was very wounded in my heart towards the Lord because my brother, and this is the thing, you don't know what's going on in their heart. You know, I was, you know, jokingly saying about Daniel being antagonistic, but actually when I'm listening to someone who's acting like that towards me, I have a major tender spot in my heart for that person because what he's saying to me is he's hurting. There's something in him that's hurting bad. That's all that means. What I really want to do is say, "Man, can we talk?" You know, but usually can't do that with a total stranger. So sometimes you can. The Holy Spirit will allow that opportunity to open up. But anyhow, she said, "It's Jesus." I said, "Whatever, seriously, just go back to work." And so she got up and went back to work. And that night, you know, those old-fashioned clocks, I don't know if you guys remember these, where the numbers just would flip over, click like that. I had one of those. Who knows those clocks I'm talking about? Okay. I watched that thing flop over all night long. I did not sleep one second the entire night. Because as I'm laying there on my pillow watching that clock, all I can hear is, "It's Jesus. It's Jesus." The Holy Spirit was not very nice about it. Did not let me sleep one second. "It's Jesus, Brad. It's Jesus. It's Jesus. I know, I can hear it. It's Jesus," all night long. I waited until it was anywhere close to a reasonable hour, like 5:30 in the morning, to call her again. I just waited because at one point it was so ridiculous. I had to talk to her again. So I called her pretty early and I said, "Sheila, I have to run some errands this morning. Would you go with me? I need you to go with me." And she's like, "Sure, I'm her boss. What else is she going to say, you know?" So I said, "All right, I'll swing by and pick you up." So I swung by and picked her up, and I got in the car, and I said, "I don't know anything about anything, what you're talking about, so why don't you just explain to me what you mean when you say it's Jesus?" And she said, "Okay." And so I just let her go as I'm running errands. And I did that for 2 weeks. I took her with me everywhere for 2 weeks. I just wanted to keep talking to me. Even though at one point she's just like repeating the same stuff over and over. It's like, "Just keep talking, just keep talking." Because there was a war on the inside of me. Just, that's what I was saying. The reason I had such a wound in my heart is because 5 years earlier, I watched my brother get killed right in front of me by a car. He was like from me to Aaron. He was 10 feet away from me, and a car going about 50 miles an hour just drilled him and killed my brother. Well, when I went to the funeral, everybody told me, "It's God's will, son. It's God's will." And every time they said that, it was like just driving a knife into my heart. And I was like, really? That's God's will to wipe my brother out like that? You know, that's how it translated to me. That violent death and everything. So I hated God. So when she said it's Jesus, I'm like, just go back to work, right? So I was very hard, but the Holy Spirit knows how to break through that. And so Sheila couldn't have said anything to me to break through that. It took the Holy Spirit to do that. So me laying there in bed and the Holy Spirit just working, just know when you speak words of life to someone, they don't have a choice. I was going to use a word that's probably not a very good word to use. They're jacked up, right? The Holy Spirit's not going to lose that opportunity. It's exactly right. His word will not return void. So when you plant a seed in someone, I love to at least try and get one scripture in there if I can't. But if it's real cut off right in the beginning of the conversation, I'm not interested in talking to you. All right, you have a nice day. You know, I just leave it with a love, a shot of kindness. But if I do get a chance to talk and they cut me off, I love to at least just say, hey, I just want you to know that the word of God says Jesus came into the world to save the world, not to condemn the world. He came to save you. Jesus wants to save you. But I really appreciate your time very much, guys, all right? And then I'll just walk off. I like to just leave that seat, and I'm like, ha, ha, ha. The Holy Spirit's going to be all... I'm like, you know, good luck sleeping tonight, you know? That's what I'm thinking to myself, because I know how the Holy Spirit works. I'm like, oh. So that's what you want to do. You want to get that seed in there, right? So anyhow, all right. I cannot believe it's this late already, but we're going to do this once real quick. So everyone, one person on this side, find one person on that side. You're not allowed to pair up with your significant other or anything. Find someone else. Use your cheat sheet, and someone be the person who's going to do the witnessing, the other one do the person that listens. So many people, disciple them. Then this place will just be off the charts. Because you know what happens when you get a church filled with a bunch of people that are young, they just accepted Christ, and they come to the church. They're lit up. And they're going to get taught correctly from the beginning. Because yes. I don't put religion on people. I'm not going to be teaching a bunch of religion, right? Neither is Peter or anybody else is going to be teaching here. So it's just grounds for nothing but goodness.
Nothing.
Nothing but goodness. I like it. That's where we're going. We're not next Sunday, but that's the idea. We will have a clinic that actually takes it to the streets. So, but let me just bring up a couple points that happened as I was going around talking and listening to some of you guys. First of all, I'm just so excited about how excited some of you are about this, which is just awesome. Rebecca was asking me, I said, are you guys like doing this right now? Because I didn't see a Bible out. And then I realized one of them was reading the iPhone. And she's like, what do you think about that? And, I think it's much better, like a lot better than not having anything with you, right? So, because it's still the word, they're going to read the word, but it's not anywhere near, I don't think it's going to be nearly as powerful as handing them a Bible. So what I really want to encourage you to do is to go to a Bible bookstore. There's not a lot, but there's a good one up in Polaris called Lifeway, if you guys know about that one up there. You can go up there, or they're selecting... is a good size select. It's good. It's really good, actually. Or you can get online. If you don't already have one, find a decent pocket-sized Bible, something that would be convenient for you to have with you all the time, right? Yes, like that one right there. Lift that up, like that. Not that you don't know, but, you know, it's maybe a little bit bigger. You women have a much better advantage if you carry a purse. I try and carry something that will actually fit in my pocket. When I go out witnessing, I on purpose will wear shorts like Joe's got on right now. What are those called? There's a name. What are they? Cargo shorts. Huh?
Really cool.
Really cool shorts like Joe has on. Yeah, that's a perfect one. Peter, lift that up. That's a good size. Because you also don't want it so small that someone isn't going to... Yeah. Well, they're not going to be able to read it. Here's what you can get by with, too. By all the scriptures I gave you, you can get by with just buying a New Testament. All right? So you can get a little bit larger print and still have it in a small Bible. I like to wear cargo shorts for you guys. And what I do, here's another thing I intend to add to this at the end. It's going to be one more fabulous tool to have. I wrote a tract years ago because I found all these tracts and I didn't like any of them. And I'm like, Lord, I don't like these tracts, you know, because most of them are very condemning. And I don't really want to come from that standpoint. And then I had a brainstorm. I thought, men wrote these. I can write mine. So I wrote my own. So I wrote a tract, which you guys are more than welcome to have, or you can just write your own or whatever. Find another good tract that's already out there, whatever you want to do. Tracts are awesome. The reason is because it's so easy to say to someone, hey, can I give you something to read? That's a great way to open up a conversation instead of, can I talk with you? I'll do the, can I talk with you? But a lot of people are just too nervous to talk to a stranger like that. Can I give you something to read is just very easy. And you may not even have time to talk to them. It's a fabulous thing when you only have 1 second. You can hand out 25, 30 tracks in a day effortlessly. Hey, can I give you something to read? Yeah, okay, cool, thanks. You just go on, you know? And so you just go on and hand out a bunch of tracks to different people. But just do it in a beautiful way, real kind way. Tracks are fantastic. So anyhow, I keep the tracks in my left pocket. I keep the Bible in the right pocket. And then I'll go up and talk. I'll have one track already ready in my hand. I'll just say, hey, can I give you something to read? And then what I'll do is I'll say, can I give you something to read? And they'll say, yeah. And if you don't mind, I'd like to just explain a little bit about that. And you can read it later. And they'll say, okay. It's talking about the Lord. And so, and boom, I'm in. I just start talking. So that's just a way to open the conversation. Plus, they have it to go over and over and over and over. The tract that I wrote, real quick story on it. The tract that I wrote, I handed it out to hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people. I don't know, maybe 1,000 people. I don't know. I handed out hundreds of them. A couple years later, a neighbor of mine moved in next door. And I went over there and started to talk to him. And I decided I was going to witness to him. And I started to witness to him. And he goes, are you trying to get me saved? And I said, yeah. And he goes, I'm already saved. And I said, wow, that's awesome, man. Praise God. And we started talking, having a good time. He goes, yeah, you won't even believe what happened to me. He said, in fact, I'm going to show it to you. He said, I was in a rehabilitation place, you know, for alcoholics. And I was there. And while I was there, someone handed me a track. And I read the track. And he said, man, I read that thing every single day. I would go up to this, and we're all given a break in the middle of the day, you know, from our work. And I would go up to this place. There was this big boulder up in the back of the hill. And I went and stood on the boulder, or sat on the boulder, and I read this track over and over and over and over. And he said, there's a prayer in the back. And one day I prayed, man, I just asked Jesus to come to my life. He goes, let me show you that track. I still have it. I said, cool. And he runs into his bedroom. He comes out, and he hands me my track. And I looked at it, and literally my brain was like, I don't. Is this a joke? I don't know this guy. I've never met the guy. Wait a minute. I was like racing to figure out how he knows this is my track. How could he know? And I'm looking at him. I'm looking at the track. And he's like, what's wrong with you, man? And I said, where'd you get that track? And he said, oh, some guy handed it to me. Anyhow, it was my track. But it was so beautiful. It came all the way around from someone else, gave it to someone else. And it came back and ended up moving next door to me. And I got to see my track come back and its fruit. The fruit of that track. Isn't that awesome? So anyhow, here's what I would suggest. Get a pocket Bible. Hold the pocket Bible with you. Get in the habit of taking it with you everywhere you go, because the opportunity, the Lord is going to start opening opportunities for you. Why? Because you're ready. He's been waiting for you to be ready. And when you get ready and then you let the Lord know, I want this opportunity, Lord, open up the doors for me. He's going to provide opportunities. You want to have that Bible ready, right? So that's my recommendation. Yes.